Welcome, everyone, to the Chain Starts Here podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Odom. And today I am excited to wrap up our four disciplines of execution series. We have done one discipline a month this semester, and I am excited to make sure that we wrap it up today. It's, as I've said on probably each of the podcasts, I am here at Franklin Covey because I've seen the power of the four disciplines of execution work in the classroom all the way up to a cabinet level in a 50,000 student district. And so I believe in the power of it. I'm excited about the power of it. And today my goal is to, one, give you a recap of the four disciplines, but two, dive a little bit deeper into the fourth discipline. So with that, let's get started. A question I love to ask people when they're exploring this is, have you ever struggled to put a strategic plan into action? If you haven't, you're a rare breed and you need to reach out to me immediately so we can get you on the podcast, because I have a lot of really talented people that I work with and really talented people that I've worked with in the past that are amazing at building awesome strategic plans, but it's really, really hard, especially the larger your organization gets, to put those plans into action. The fourth discipline today is all about how do we put those plans into action. So before we get there, let's start by recapping the first three disciplines. The first discipline, as you remember, is about focusing on the wildly important goals, or WIGs, like we call them. It's crucial here not to get overwhelmed by trying to accomplish too much at once. So some key bullet points to remember: focus on less to accomplish more. There will always be more good ideas and then capacity to execute on them. Learn to say no. And remember, as you're setting it, you need a starting line, a finish line, and a deadline. All right, second discipline teaches us about how to act on what we call lead measures, those that are predictive and influenceable, allowing us to track our progress effectively. Again, they need to be predictive of success and influenceable by the teams. An example that we gave in that episode was weight loss. So diet and exercise, if you want to lose weight, you're not going to just step on a scale and track that progress. You're going to track the diet and the exercise you do, and that's going to lead to the weight loss. Last one is, remember, it's a lever that moves your wildly important goals. The third discipline is about keeping a compelling scoreboard. This visual display of progress keeps everyone informed and everyone engaged. And I put on here, have fun with this. The bullets to remember about a compelling scoreboard: it's what we call the discipline of engagement. We believe that people play differently when they're keeping score. And when you think about a scoreboard, think about it as one that is designed for and by the players. As I've said on the other one, this is my favorite one to see implemented in the schools. I wasn't that creative. And I think about my time as a teacher, I had a sticker chart, and it worked for high school seniors to get excited and compete, which was crazy. But I, 20 years now in education, I have seen so many cooler scoreboards. So it doesn't have to be super compelling, super creative. But the more compelling and creative it is, the more powerful I've seen it be. So the thing to remember, disciplines 1, 2, and 3 are the formula for creating a winnable game. Discipline 4 is how we play that game. So with discipline 4 is all about creating a cadence of accountability. Now let's focus on that. So this cadence of accountability, the discipline is the execution engine of the other three, turning them from concept into action. In K-12 education, we're often juggling numerous priorities. I mean, every day it feels like your hair can be on fire. The fourth discipline brings clarity and focus, ensuring that amidst the chaos, we are constantly progressing towards our key goals. Accountability here isn't punitive. It's about commitment, follow through, and creating a culture where everyone feels responsible and empowered to achieve shared objectives. Again, accountability gets a negative rap oftentimes, and oftentimes it can be misused. But when we're talking about accountability here, it's not in a negative aspect. When used effectively, we believe it's incredibly empowering. It's not about pointing fingers. It's about setting clear expectations and providing support needed to meet them. In the context of K-12 leadership, this means regular, quick — I think I've highlighted on my script here — super quick meetings with your teams where they report on commitments, learn from success and failures, and plan their next moves. For those of you who just want to have quick notes, I put here, these meetings should be brief, focused, and consistent, occurring weekly, biweekly. So again, they're brief, focused, and consistent, occurring weekly and biweekly. So here's how to structure them. One, this is the agenda for you if you want a cheat sheet. One, review the scoreboard. Start by reviewing the progress on your WIGs. This sets the stage, provides a clear picture of where things stand. Are you winning or losing? Two, report on commitments. Each team member reports on the commitments that they made the previous meeting. Did they do what they say they're going to do? And what were the results? Three, plan and set new commitments. Based on the scoreboard and the reports, what are the next actions? Here, each team member makes new commitments targeting the lead measures that will move the scoreboard. Four, learn and adapt. Discuss what's working and what isn't. That's really key. It's okay to fail. We talk often about failing forward. So discuss what's working and, again, what isn't. This is crucial to continuous improvement. To see this discipline action, let's consider a scenario. Imagine you're a principal or focusing on improving reading scores. Your WIG might be to increase reading proficiency by 20% by the end of the school year. Your lead measures could involve daily reading practice and weekly comprehension assessments. In your weekly WIG meetings, each teacher might commit to specific interventions based on their students' progress, like adapting lesson plans for students who are struggling or extending reading sessions for those who need more challenging material. They report on these actions, learn from student feedback and assessment data, and plan their next steps. This regular rhythm of meeting, reviewing, and committing not only maintains focus, but also builds a culture of accountability. And most importantly, support. Each teacher knows they have the backing of their peers and the leadership. They're not alone in tackling challenges. They have a supportive team behind them. And if you have it, the power of fourth discipline is fostering not just accountability, but a proactive, supportive, and adaptive educational environment. Implementing this with fidelity means you're not just dreaming of better outcomes, you're systematically achieving them. So let's recap. One, four disciplines. Focus on the wildly important. Less is more, 1 to 3 at most. Two, act on the lead measures. They need to be influenceable and actionable. Three, keep a compelling scoreboard. We want this to be seen, quickly known if you're winning or losing, and created for and by the players. Four, a cadence of accountability. These need to be brief, focused, and consistent. Again, I wouldn't be here without the four disciplines of execution. I firmly believe in the power, not just because it makes sense, and I feel like it's not easy to implement per se, but it's easy to understand and check yourself and get back on track. But I've seen the power in the classroom level, I've seen the power in a grade level, I've seen the power in a school, I've seen the power in a district. And so if you've not explored the four disciplines of execution at this point, you can go back by listening to the episodes. We've got really short episodes, I think anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes. There's four of them, obviously. This is the last one. You can go back and listen to those. We've had, I don't know, 3 or 4 guests over the last year or two that have talked about the power of four disciplines of execution. You can Google it. You can read the book. There's a book for non-educators, a book for educators. They're both honestly great. I've read them both a few times, and I think there's power to reading both of them, even as an educator. I just feel so blessed and fortunate to be part of an organization that is trying to help equip schools, school leaders, and teachers with an execution pathway like this. And so, again, as always, I just want to thank you for joining us here on The Change Starts Here. I hope this episode has inspired you to embrace the fourth disciplines of execution in your school and district. And, you know, remember, the goal is to turn strategic plans into reality, one committed step at a time. My favorite question that Chris McChesney asked first time I saw him speak was, how do you eat an elephant? And it's one bite at a time. So again, the goal is to turn strategic plans into reality, one committed step at a time. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day. As always, if you're a subscriber, thank you for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. It helps us continue to grow our impact. But as you know, most importantly to me, if you've heard anything in today's episode that you think can help another leader in your life, please share that with them. Thank you for listening.